When I was growing up, I fantasized about being an actress. I thought all that was required to get up on stage and feel beautiful was lots of makeup, a diamante necklace, and a super fabulous frock. That was until I realized there were scripts that you had to remember, expressions and movement that had to make sense of the words that were coming out of your mouth, and mostly, what I came to discover was the biggest challenge of all, was confidence. Confidence to stand up there with your whole self showing to an audience of strangers, all expecting a little more than simply watching someone play dress-ups. So that kind of destroyed my dreams of being on stage. And since then, it's been a lifelong journey trying to work out my relationship to myself. Part of that has been my relationship to my feminine self. In the last few years, I've been aware that I've yet to nail that particular challenge, and I think squillions of other women in the world would adore to feel sensual and sexual and able to tap into that inner goddess that's lurking beneath. And just like a magical spell, suddenly a woman who appeared to be all that and more appeared in my vision. She became my ultimate girl crush, and from that moment on, I decided she would be my goddess teacher, whether she liked it or not.
I'm Sina King, and I'm a burlesque performer, producer, and pin-up model, and I believe that all women are goddesses.
It is so lovely to have you, Sina, here.
Thank you.
And I have to say, I'm feeling pretty proud of myself from a manifesting point of view here because firstly, I'll talk about when I first saw you. This is the first time I have seen you, I've met you.
Yes.
But the first time I saw you was probably 2 years ago, and it was at an event called the Titty Twister.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is the bar. Anyone that loved the movie From Dusk Till Dawn will know that that bar is that wild, dodgy bar in Mexico that's in that movie.
Yes.
And I think everybody who would have also seen that movie will never forget Salma Hayek, who gets on the table and dances with a snake. So I'll just explain just the why I feel so fantastic about myself is because 2 years ago I had just such an urge. I really wanted to do some sort of a show talking to women that I just thought were fantastic and interesting. And I think there was a lot of blogs and stuff happening. Oh, well, of course they were happening well before that. But there was a tone in some of them that I didn't necessarily feel aligned with, and also there was a hell of a lot of them, and I don't mean this with any respect, that were just really focused on women who were mothers. So, of course, mm-hmm. I'm not a mother, I am to a fur baby, so that didn't sort of align with me really either. So, and I was doing lots of things to try and explore that and see which mediums I would be able to do that in. So that was something that I had a passion about. But then also I remember seeing you at this event and suddenly the crowd kind of hushed and the lights sort of dimmed and on the stage this plume of like smoke came out and then this music started playing, which I didn't recognize immediately was the music that Salma Hayek dances to.
Yes.
But out from the shadows and the plume of smoke comes this woman that I'm literally like, oh my God, who is this girl? You had, feathers in your hair. You had the most unbelievable, I guess, sort of beaded bikini, or would that be right?
Yes.
And you had a snake, a python around your neck. And you proceeded to do this dance that just was so mesmerizing. And I remember standing in the audience thinking, do women like that exist? Like, does she have a mother? Does she have a family? Like, who is this? It was like you weren't real. And now you are sitting in front of me and I get the opportunity to find out about you.
Yay.
And it's just such an honour to have you here. And you're, of course, as beautiful as I thought you were going to be. So we'll get on to your performance and what have you. But I just want to talk about, like, how long have you been a burlesque performer and how did that come into your life? How did you arrive at this place?
Well, it's been around 5 years now. Mm. Actually, I think I've just celebrated my 5-year anniversary recently.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. My very first performance was for the Australian National Competition, which was Miss Burlesque Australia. And I won it, which was good.
Wow.
Yay. but that's how it's, my career started. I had studied dance for about 20 years earlier on
in
my life.
Okay, so dance was always in your life.
Dance, musical theatre. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I always had a performing art background. But I didn't use it for, you know, almost a decade.
And
I always considered doing it professionally, but I sort of just, it just wasn't, there was something about it that just didn't really pull me, I guess, hard enough into the direction of a dancer. Mm. It was the idea of being instructed and told how to do everything and what to do and,
regimented, like, discipline,
right.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I thought, no, I don't want to sort of break my feet and have my hips out of place and all the physical ailments that go with being a professional dancer. Mm. And I thought, I don't have that desire and passion as I thought I might. Mm. I took some time off, and it wasn't until the idea of burlesque came back to me in 2011 that I went for it, and that's how my career started.
How did it come back to you? What was it? Was it just this competition you saw advertised, or what was it?
Yes, well, I came across the idea of burlesque when I was around 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So the film Gypsy, which is based on the story of one of the most famous burlesque artists of all time, which is Gypsy Rose Lee.
I've heard of the name. I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. Yep. And it's been turned into a musical, and it's, you know, Dita Von Teese is the number one inspirations as well. So she's very, very important to the entire history of burlesque, I guess. Mm. But there was a film about the story of her life, and I saw it, on a day off from school when I was unwell, and I was sitting there watching the old time movies, and it just happened to be on, and it starts off as a story about a young girl that grows up in a, you know, vaudevillian family, and she's singing and dancing, but she never fits in, and she, you know, her mother's the stage mum from hell. And, you know, sort of watching this film, and, you know, it gets a bit boring after a while. So when you do go to watch it, I've already prepared you for that.
Yeah, totally. There'll be a patch where I'll be going, really, Sina? This is it?
But then it comes to a crescendo in a moment where, I guess, and this ties in with the history of burlesque, where the acts and the live entertainment starts to drop off when cinema comes about, or people spending less money due to the war and things like that, where it's harder for them to make a living as artists touring. And so they say, look, we're actually a burlesque house now. They turn up to a gig in her story, in her life, and her and the family that normally performed didn't have a spot. They were there basically for... to pretend there was entertainment still happening at this venue, but secretly there was stripping happening, which was the burlesque artist. So she finds herself in a position where the family's no longer in serious work. They're there as a joke, or really as a facade to hide that it's secretly an illegal strip club.
Nice.
So what ends up happening is one of the strippers can't go on, and the main protagonist, which is Gypsy, whose name was Louise, ends up saying, I'll do it. You know, I'll step in, because she realises this might be her time to finally have a moment and save the family from not having any money. Mm. And she kind of falls into it, and they give her a name, and her first gimmick is that she's very shy and she hardly takes anything off. But then there's this fantastic montage, and I haven't met anyone that doesn't love a montage. but it was this fantastic montage where you've watched a good hour and a half of this woman suffer from a child up into this moment where she starts to sort of turn into, I guess, that age where she's becoming a woman. And she's had her mum yelling at her whole life. And then all of a sudden, she gets to wear the most fabulous costume, surrounded by fabulous women all doing what they want, and, you know, out there as a solo artist, as the star of the whole stage. And then there's this montage where she shows her career just blossoming and blossoming from, you know, a local fantastic performer to Paris and, you know, London.
Wow.
And she travels the world. And the montage is just her walking out and owning the stage in one amazing costume after the other.
Wow.
So as a child, I was like... wow, I want to be that when I'm older.
Were you like, I mean, because I know I used to dress up and I was always dragging something, like I was always trying to find an audience that would watch me dance.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
Just, I was doing, you know, like at school, in primary school, yeah. It was like every week I was organising a play or a dance. You know, I'd do Bugsy Malone. Of course, I would cast myself as Tallulah.
Yes,
and I would
course.
Stand out there. Of course, like, why wouldn't you?
You need to be a burlesque performer, I think.
Yeah, but the problem is that I feel that, I mean, as I said, just, you know, and I spend a probably stalker amount of time staring at your Instagram pictures. Like, there's just, I fall into these pictures and just go, oh my God, look at this, and look at the hair, and look at the diamond, and look at the, you know, the red lips and the matte red lips, and look at the earrings, and look at the gloves. And I'm not joking, I just sit there staring at what almost I feel like what could have been. And then I was laughing to myself today. Well, I put my dress on this morning, and I've got a vintage dress on, and I thought, oh, that's nice. And I, you know, I felt, you know, and of course I made a little bit of an effort to, you know,
I like the dress.
You know, to put a nice dress on, because I knew that I'd be seeing you and you'd probably look spectacular. And then of course halfway through the day I went to the bathroom, and as I'm washing my hands, you know, like as many girls do, they give themselves a little once over on the side.
Good.
And of course, I've realised that typically, which is pretty much why I can't be a burlesque dancer. I can interview them, I can have conversations with them, I can become their friends, like we're going to be, whether you like it or not. But I'm not going to be a burlesque dancer because I had the most visible panty line deal going on. And I thought, oh, yeah, good one, Amber. Yeah, you're going to be meeting Sina King for the first time tonight, and there you are with your daggy undies cutting into your bum.
Just take them off. It's much easier.
Well, that's the one tip of how to get to me. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to become a burlesque dancer, and then suddenly I just realized, take the undies off, and there I was. I was halfway there.
And exactly. I love your dress, by the way. It's beautiful.
Thank you. But also the hair. You've walked in with this incredible. It's a curl and a quiff. What is this era? Talk to me about this front.
Yeah, I'd say more 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pin curled and then it's brushed out into waves and shapes generally.
So you, I mean, I can tell by the volume of beautiful photos that you create, which I know are part of your the pin-up side of you. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of girls, once they go and if they don't know who you are, they're going to go and stalk you on Instagram. So her Instagram is Miss Sina King.
Yes.
And they're going to look at you and ask a question unanimously at some point, which is, does she always look like that? Does she own a pair of tracksuit pants? Does she like the look of herself when she gets out of the shower and her hair is flat and there's no makeup on? What, how often, or, you know, how often are you dressing and doing all the stuff?
Yeah, I'm very honest about that. I meet a lot of people as casual as I get. I mean, yes, of course I'm in track pants. We all have those days where we need to melt into a couch and have absolute no contact with the external world and not even feel that you're wearing anything. There's those times where you just need to really, you know, slow it down. So I do love track pants, and I love potato chips, and I love wearing track pants and eating potato chips at the same time.
That's so nice to hear. Yeah. What is the training to keep you looking the way you are? And I know that we have had a brief conversation, you know, before, and you know, luckily you are naturally slim, and I think probably someone that doesn't have to work on it, you know, even if you weren't a burlesque dancer, mm-hmm. as much as maybe someone else that's prone to putting on weight here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is your training? You know, what do you do on a day-to-day regarding, you know, food and exercise to keep yourself burlesque fit?
I just listen to my body, and you know, if I have a reaction to something that I don't like, I don't eat it. So I don't have dairy or gluten in my diet.
Okay.
But I always eat really healthy. So it was always a bit of, I mean, you know, growing up naturally slim, I always fitted into anything predominantly that I wanted to wear. So I didn't really have any issue around finding something to wear. So there wasn't any reason to worry about my shape or size or anything like that. I didn't even notice whether I was slim. You know, it was just something that I just was. But I always used to eat really healthily, I guess, so that I didn't have to exercise because I found it so boring. I loved dancing, but I hated exercise, so I just used to eat really healthy and think, okay, if I eat healthy then I don't have to exercise. So from being lazy, I guess I taught myself how to be healthy,
which is actually just a really logical thought process which so many people struggle with.
It's just, that's just how my brain's always working out the easiest way to go about stuff.
Yeah, but also but it is the easiest way to go about something, but it also links back to your true passion.
Yeah,
so it connects back. You know, there is a really good reason for you to understand that about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always trying to learn more about myself, and I'm always trying to, I guess, be as good to myself as I can. And if that's about being healthy so that I can think better.
Yeah.
Or to have more energy to pursue the things that I want, or have more time to spend with the people I care about. It all sort of interlinks. And keeping healthy and fit is not just for my performance, my career. It's really just to make sure I get to do all the things I want to do in life.
You do travel a lot. You have a lot going on as part of whether it's, you know, being the producer or being the burlesque performer or being the pin-up girl. And what I think is what I've, you know, kind of saw about you online was that, you know, you've headlined, you know, burlesque festivals in Berlin, which isn't it isn't a common thing for, I think, an Australian burlesque dancer, because the origins are in Europe, and obviously there's a lot of girls doing it in Europe.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition, I guess, if you want to call it that. I mean, there's a lot of options for producers to choose showgirls and artists from much closer countries.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it doesn't happen very often, and I was very excited to headline anything overseas when I was starting.
And, of course.
It's nice to be able to represent Australia as well in a forum where they don't get to see us too often in those roles. So, yeah.
A lot of movies that have portrayed dancing girls in whatever era it might be, you know, there's always, which is a very typical theme of, I think, anything that shows women together, you know, living, breathing or working in together. And look, there is a lot of truth to that. Obviously, there is jealousy and competitiveness among females, which is a shame. What's your industry like? Because I guess there is so much commitment and passion that goes into, you know, your performance, because there's so many elements to it. It's how you dress, it's how you source, you know, all of the you know, your outfits. Yeah. And what is it like, in truth?
It's a really unique industry because it's one that's not governed by any external body whatsoever. So there's no, you know, union.
Yeah.
Or there's nothing regulating it. It's, you know, 95% women as well, which is very unique. There's no degree or anything you need to get into it. It's a real mashup of people from all different journeys, and it's generally not people that grew up always wanting to be it, you know. So it's in a unique conglomerate, I guess, of women. But no, in terms of what you see in the films, you know, where they're breaking pearls and ladies is, you know, falling on stage and sabotaging, you know, you get that in every industry, I guess. But it's the unique side of, I guess, if you think of it like this, a burlesque performer is a solo artist. So we represent ourselves as, I guess, a business in a sense. So really it's not, you know, a team of women all happen to be doing the same job. They're all essentially running their own businesses. So really it's an industry.
And promoting a cause and
we
an interest, I guess.
We do everything ourselves. So, you know, everything from your marketing to your costume design, music choice, development of concepts, costume design, some of them make their costumes as well, the choreography, you know, booking your own work sometimes, you name it. So you become everything. So it's a really unique world. So you've got all these women running their own businesses, working together, and
Very driven entrepreneurial
yes,
women.
Yes, you have to be, yeah, or else it yeah. just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And
which is a unique blend because it's not always, you know, a creative person and an entrepreneurial
right.
person. The two often
yes.
don't, you don't get both
yes.
sometimes. One is very difficult, you know, over the other.
To use the, I guess they call it two different parts of your mind.
Yeah,
the creative
that's
side
right.
your business side. So then you do find we are all very similar in ways. You know, mm. the ladies that sort of keep going and don't sort of drop off after the first 6 months or a year.
Mm.
The ladies that keep going and over the years you start to realize you're all got so much in common because you are very much alike in the way that you think and
yeah.
that you're determined. So we have, I guess, an understanding that we're all very similar-minded women and we have a lot of respect for each other for that because
yeah.
it's not an easy path. And it's
not at all.
It's living outside the square. It's
living outside an era.
Everything.
You know.
It's living outside of everything that everyone else is doing, pretty much.
It is quite incredible. Not every burlesque dancer is naturally going to know how to dance with a snake.
Mm-hmm.
You are ridiculously mesmerizing mm-hmm. when you do that. When did you learn how to dance with a snake? Because you and the snake mm-hmm. are literally moving mm. together in unison. How does that? And tell us also a little bit about the history of the snake charming dance.
Well, the snake charming dance, I guess, through history, the you know, a woman dancing with a snake was extremely exotic. You know, in a time where women were barely showing an ankle,
mm.
You know, for a lady to be swathed in silks and coins and moving her hips in an alluring way and having an animal slither all over her mm. was extremely provocative and exotic, and I guess filled with mysticism in society for this woman that lived this world and or had these powers, I guess.
Yeah, what do you mean by that, the mysticism side of things?
I haven't studied the complete history of the snake charmer, but you'll find, you know, stories, I guess, of people seeing it as perhaps an occult-ish
uh-huh.
type of behaviour
yep.
or, you know, it's not something that was aligned with wholesome goodness, you know, it was something that was always this woman that was doing something that was...
But isn't that interesting? There's a lot of things in history where it is about a woman being empowered
mm-hmm.
that someone comes along and throws a negative spin on it,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a witch who is literally, you know, about working with the earth's energies
mm-hmm.
or whether it's, as you said, you know, a woman, a snake charmer dancing with a snake.
Mm.
Because, you know, I used to be absolutely terrified of snakes. And, you know, I'm sure if one slid through now,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to stop talking and we're going to have to focus on that and just double check where that snake is going.
Yes.
But I have since held a snake and
yes.
I had been told that the energy
mm-hmm.
actually of a snake
mm-hmm.
is like pure feminine.
Right.
It's a pure goddess feminine energy.
Mm.
And when I was at this party and it was actually a kids' party and there were snakes everywhere
mm-hmm.
I thought, I'm going to, okay, concentrate. Remember what you were told. Remember, this is actually the highest form of a feminine energy sliding towards you. This is not something to be feared. And as I, you know, the snake handler said, would you know, picked the snake up before it sort of got to me because I think she saw my eyeballs, you know, bulging out like that, my favourite emoticon. And when I held, I really tried to get in touch with the energy of the snake.
Yes.
And my God, there is something so feminine about that and soft
mm-hmm.
about a snake.
Yeah. It feels amazing. Their skin is sort of wet and soft
yeah.
and it's unlike any other texture, really.
How did you start?
So,
what's the process of learning how to dance with a snake?
The event that you talked about, I was headlining the event and they wanted me to dance with the snake
yeah.
in a tribute to that act that you mentioned with Salma
Was
Hayek.
That the first time you did it?
Well, the first time I ever held a snake was at the promotional photo shoot for the poster.
What?
Yeah. And they just said, oh, here's the snake. And funnily enough, they'd bought the snake for me for the production. So the producers bought the snake. So they'd only had it for, you know, 10 days or something.
So they basically said, this is our theme. We want you to be our girl.
Yeah.
Here is a snake.
Yes.
Learn how to dance with it as summer
hiking.
And
then you're going on stage. So basically,
wow.
At the photo shoot, the purchaser of the snake was there, and not knowing 100% herself how to work with the snake, brushed its nose because it had a bit of fluff or something on its nose.
Probably a feather off your head.
Possibly. And brushed the snake's tip of its nose.
Gosh.
And because the snakes can only sit sideways,
yeah.
They don't have that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't see in that direction. It bit her.
Wow.
And she had two fang marks and had blood streaming down her hand. And I turned her away for just a second because I was just fixing up a headpiece or what have you. And they're like, okay, all the lights are set up now for the photo shoot. And then I've turned around and, you know, within 2 seconds is, you know, blood pouring down her hand. And then it was like, okay, now it's time for you to hold the snake for the first time and dance with her in a photo shoot.
Oh,
and
God.
And I said, what's just happened there? And she said, oh look, I've just touched its nose and apparently they can't see, so that's why it's
and now it's
me.
Agitated. And if you could wrap it around your neck, that'd be fantastic.
But I said, oh okay, so it wasn't the snake's fault. Like the snake was defending itself, and so long as I don't hit it on the nose, I guess I'm okay. So. The thing I guess I've always felt an affinity with animals. I've always felt comfortable and around animals, almost like understanding that there is an energy, I guess, from humans, animals, everything. And I just sort of thought, okay, well, if we're going to hang out, we're going to dance together, then I guess we're showgirls. You know, we're going to... This is my showgirl snake. And
connected with
we're just going to dance right now. So I just put her over my shoulders and we just danced and... nothing changed from the first time that I danced with the snake to today. There's nothing changed. It's still the same thing that I do. I just dance and let the snake dance with me, and I share the same energy that I do with my audience with the snake.
I talk about energy a lot. You talk in energy a lot too, and
yes.
I love that. I can imagine now you connecting with that snake and that snake feeling perfectly at ease
mm-hmm.
and in the kind of energetic groove and flow with you. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
We also briefly talked and I said I wanted to talk about it more tonight because you do these, you know, wonderful classes all over Australia and the world
yeah.
with women, teaching them burlesque, but
yes.
also how to empower themselves. I know you use energy when you're on stage. I know it's something you want other women to understand.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little?
Well, it's something that I've always understood within me and not realised that everyone else didn't always understand it.
Yeah.
So it took me a while to sort of realise that...
We don't understand how to tap into our feminine energy
right.
a lot of the time.
And I, you know, even my mother didn't understand it. So I was always saying to, you know, things to my mum like, you just wear it. What do you mean? Or you just walk out there and you just do it. Or you just say what you think, you know. And, you know, I don't get what's so hard about that. You know, I didn't... have the same struggle, I guess, that a lot of women have had. I've had my own struggles, but not in
you have got a direct connection with your feminine, and
yes.
I think the difference is with a lot of women, which I know you know now because you've obviously taught a
yes.
lot of women,
yes.
is what gets in between that connection between me and
mm-hmm.
I can use myself as
mm-hmm.
an example. Some days I'll look at myself, I feel sexy.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The sad thing is, it doesn't last long enough. It's
uh-huh.
it probably won't last the whole day. It may not even last till midday. I might go out at night if I have a few drinks. It might be there at the start of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not there at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So that what happens between that sort of that, you know, that starting point and that connection to my sexy inner goddess, which we all do have,
mm-hmm.
is blockages. There's traffic in the way.
Yeah.
And there's not with you. How do we get that traffic out of the way?
Well, I guess the difference between, you kind of mentioned two different things there, and one is being in touch with your femininity and the other one is feeling sexy.
Mm. What's the difference?
Well, for me, being myself and being comfortable to be myself and understanding who I am and being aware that I won't always know everything about who I am and what I want, and I'm always going to have to work on that, I guess, is a comfort that I have that I'm ready for whatever, and whatever happens, I can deal with this, and I'm prepared for consequences, but I could still go forth and really just do whatever I want, whenever I want, so long as I understand what I'm doing and I'm prepared for whatever that might mean. That confidence, I guess, in myself is what I think some people confuse with feeling sexy, because really confidence is... let's call it sexy. Confidence is the sexiest thing about anybody. It's confused with the word charisma. But it's that inner confidence that shines from within and that comes out because you don't have those barriers. You don't have as many blockages around you. You have an everlasting source of energy coming out and inviting back in and sending out and inviting back in. And I guess that confidence is what people are drawn to and attracted to, and that's the attraction. If you see a woman, it doesn't matter what she's wearing or how much makeup she's got on or how she's styled her hair, if she has that inner confidence, you're like, oh, there's something about that woman, just so sexy.
Is so what, true, isn't
is
it?
What people, you know, assume, or they have a word for it. But you know, rarely do people walk down the street and say, oh, I just sense that woman's so confident within herself. No, you don't say that. You say she's so sexy. And that's the appeal, I guess. Being confident to put that foot down on the floor as hard as you can and then the next one straight in front of it, and that undying confidence of where you're going and what you're doing, I guess, is the sexy side. And having, I guess, a sense, sensuality is also, you know, it's about love and sharing. So if you are confident within yourself, you're more likely to open up that part of you that allows love to come in and share that side of love, and love and sensuality are connected. So, you know, being able to share your own sensuality is another side of being sexy, you know. So being, I guess, not feeling vulnerable in being sensual, not feeling vulnerable in allowing yourself to be loved, is really, and you know, when I describe this to ladies, they realize, oh, so it is the hard way. There isn't an easy way to do this.
No, that's right. I can't just go to David Jones and purchase a pair of black lace knickers.
Sorry, David Jones, but no.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it's just something you want to try anyway, because it might be something that will lead you to understanding confidence.
Steps.
Right?
Yes.
So it might
be a step.
I've always thought that wasn't for me, but who am I?
Honoring yourself with that
gift.
Maybe
I am somebody that wears that, or maybe I am someone that, you know, doesn't wear underwear, maybe I am someone that, you know, it doesn't even matter what I'm wearing because I'm so confident within myself. You don't know yet. So it's good to try different things. It's good to try external things that, you know, if it is lipstick or, you know, a new facial scrub or whatever it is that you just want to have a go and just see how you feel about it.
Yeah. I do think that honouring yourself in small and large ways is goes towards a lot towards building up what you're describing. So I hate to sort of ask on a negative side of things, but you know, let's be honest, you live in Australia.
Yes.
So you dress beautifully and retro and when you're in performance, very sensual and you're very feminine, and you know, there's a part of you that, you know, reeks of this other era. And then you're meeting Aussie blokes.
Right.
And I know that, you know, the average girl often finds them a little hard to sort of engage with or to get sort of, you know, maybe respect from sometimes or treat like a lady. How do men treat you? As a very general, and I'm talking probably Australian men, because I think, you know, hopefully there will be people listening to this from all over the world, but I think they understand a little bit of that stereotype, which there's a lot true with that Aussie men can be pretty boofy and basic at times.
And so can women as well, I think.
100%.
Like for me, you know, I meet a lot of men and women in my world. Predominantly our audiences are 60-40, I think, at best. You know, 60% women, 40% men.
Yeah, right.
But, often after the show, mainly women will come up and shared a lot of compliments, but I do meet a lot of men as well, especially through social media. And a lot of the times it's more of an appreciation side of things. I really don't meet too many rude people, in all honesty. I rarely have to block anyone or worry about any of that side of thing. But I guess...
Yeah, you don't have it. You don't have to worry about people getting...
I don't attract it. I don't invite it.
That's interesting.
And
yeah.
I've spoken to other women. You know, we have our dressing room stories where we're backstage telling our showgirl stories. And
oh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. That'd be so gorgeous.
It's one of the best places to be.
It'd be so gorgeous.
And yeah, you do hear some horror stories and some of the hideous comments that get made to ladies after shows, and very insulting. But yeah, and sometimes they have no idea that they're doing it as well. They think they're giving advice, but you know, that unwanted advice.
And, yeah, that's just them projecting their inner hatred.
And, but you know, we're all smart enough to work that out.
Yeah.
But look, often if a man's trying to project his own issue or whatever it might be onto me, it's always bounced right back.
You
know,
it ends.
I'm very handled and speaking with men. So I've worked in male-dominated industries before and very versed in all the different ways of, I guess, approaching women and different tactics and the way they talk to a woman when they're really dressed up versus a lady in track pants, you know.
Yes.
I'm not intimidated by men at all. So I think that's another reason why perhaps I don't invite too much
hostility.
What do
you like with men in terms of, you know, I know when I feel gorgeous and I feel at my most feminine best, I really love being around men. But you're kind of like that all the time. If I could be you for 24 hours, I'm not sitting at home. I'm certainly out there smiling and winking and having a lovely time with men. I'm not, you know, trying to steal people's boyfriends and husbands and run, you know, completely run amok. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly going to enjoy it because I don't roll like that enough.
Right. So when you say enough, you're obviously aware that you can do it if you wanted to. So,
yes.
You know, anyone can do it and you don't have to be me for a day.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'm just me. So, it's funny because I don't play it down. I just honestly am just being myself. So I guess, I don't mind attention. I actually love attention. Because it's an opportunity to interact with other people. And whether it's people checking you out or people wanting to know a bit more about you or they want to ask you questions, it's a way just to, I guess, meet other people and perhaps educate them on another way of life. I find it really fun. And that's what it is. It's just fun. It's meeting people and sharing energy with the world, and that's really all it is for me. So I think anyone can do it. Anyone could get dressed up and
a dickhead child going, if I was you for 24 hours, I'd be out there carrying on like a pork chop.
I'd love to see you doing that. It's funny because this comes out in all my workshops as well. Like, you sort of see the faces of women going, aha, so what I've learned today is that I could have done this all along. I just didn't even know that I was allowed, I guess.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I was going to say that, you know, we have to finish now and I really wanted to ask you as a final question, which it sounds like you're about to go into, but I wanted to ask you, what do you wish more women knew about themselves that they often don't?
Mm-hmm. I wish that women knew how powerful they were. And how much extremely beautiful energy that they have within them that they can share with everyone in their family, their friends, their loved ones, their love interests. It's about exuding joy and happiness within yourself and sharing it. And embrace your sexy side, if that's what you want to call it, your sexy side. It's embracing the side that's truly you. You know, and don't censor yourself for anybody. Just do whatever you want, whenever you want.
I love that.
And you know, within reason, you know, be prepared. Always think about what the potential consequences of your actions could be. I'm not,
of course.
You know, promoting wild abandonment. Just go graffiti that building if that's what you want to do. It's more about, you know, if you do want to wear, you know, stay up stockings underneath your dress to work, or if you want to put the heels on around the office and then wear your flats home, and, or, you know, whatever it might be. They're just little things, but it might be, you know, you might want to try a vintage hair set at home and then go nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, and if your regular thing is knitting or watching television, just do it and glam up. And yeah, I just wish more women knew that they could really just do whatever they want. There's no rules.
I really love that. And you almost described what I guess I was like, and probably what a lot of women that are listening now probably were like when they were little girls. They didn't overthink it. They dressed up.
Yeah.
They grabbed mum's pearls. They just had fun.
I was
fun.
Always dressed up. I was always doing my makeup before I'd have a bath. I'd do fake makeup with whatever I could find.
Before the bath.
My neighbours, my mum's friends would give me all their old makeup, and I'd put mascara and, you know, I'd do all my makeup, and then I'd wash it up and have a bath, you know, because can't wear that out, you know, I was too young and I was always dressing up, and I was always pushing boundaries and seeing, oh, what could I get away with. And, you know, I used to wear flowing silk nightgowns down the street to push my little sister in a pram because I was I'm going for a walk. And, you know, it's just what can I get away with, I guess, was what I was always trying. I was always called Models Inc. in high school because I was always strutting around like I was on a catwalk, but it was just, I just wanted to give it a go, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess I've always had that curiosity, and I guess it was always what could I get away with, and
yeah.
Then it became what do I feel like doing.
Mm.
My advice is just have a go at all the stuff you see on Instagram and social media and things that you think, oh, I wish I could do that. Just do it and then see if it's for you.
I love that. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to meet you face to face. You're
likewise.
Gorgeous.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Having me.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For listening, ladies.
Thank you to Sina King for giving me faith that there is still a goddess within me, ready to swivel her hips and come out to an audience of even just one. Next time on The Wise Guides, I'll be speaking to Jenny Putner, the woman who can see into your past, your present, and your future just by holding your favourite piece of jewellery. If you're enjoying the show and want to hear more, I'd love you to subscribe to the show on iTunes, and please rate and review us if you have something nice to say. My destiny is in your hands. No pressure.